Hello, here is your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday, March 27th. 1 in 10 Coloradans gets a retirement through the Public Employee Pension System, or PERA. But without legislative changes, there won't be enough money to keep the plan solvent. Benta Berkland has the story.
Republican Senator Jack Tate of Centennial is the main sponsor of Senate Bill 200. Among other things, it would increase the amount both employees and employers contribute and change the way retirement is calculated.
There is a problem with salary spiking. If you look at the private sector and really a lot of folks outside of PERA, which is the majority of Coloradans, their retirement is based on their average salary throughout their whole careers.
But Democrats disagree on how far the proposal should go. Democrats offered more than a dozen amendments on Monday to try to minimize the impacts to retirees, including lowering how much the minimum age for retirement would have to go up. Those amendments were defeated. The bill still needs a final vote in the Senate before it moves to the House. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Besides electing town officials, there is a common theme in the upcoming municipal election on April 3rd. Towns like Delta and Crawford have ballot issues that, if passed, will set tax rates for recreational marijuana shops, even though both of those towns, and indeed all of Delta County, has voted against recreational marijuana and don't have any pot shops. In Crawford's case, the ballot question asks voters for authorization of a 5% special sales tax on the retail sale of marijuana and marijuana products. It authorizes the town council to change the rate not to exceed 10% without another vote of the citizens. The question also authorizes the town to collect a 5% excise tax on unprocessed retail marijuana when transferred or sold from a cultivation facility to a retail store. Officials believe voters will not find it odd to be voting on marijuana tax rates, even though their towns have no retail pot shops. Crawford Mayor Wanda Goforth spoke with KVNF News and said that the question was put on the ballot as a guarantee against the future and that the ballot issue is not confusing.
Not really, because we have got a number of examples of other communities about our size that don't have marijuana that have put this on the ballot, because that way then if it does happen to come in at a time when we don't have the ballot issue approved, then we could lose out on a lot of taxes. And, you know, you just never know when that ballot issue is going to come up to put that marijuana back on the ballot, and we could end up not having enough money.
So it's kind of a preemptive move to set the tax rate right now, thinking that maybe in the future legal marijuana will be here.
That's true, because, you know, times are changing. Whether we want it or not, sometimes that's what the people want and that's what we'll go with. But until then, well, the voters have said no up here, and that's where our council stands, if we stand with the voters.
And please stay tuned to KVNF for more of our interview with Crawford Mayor Wanda Goforth. Our Wild Card Hour on Friday night at 6 p.m. will feature an hour of Crawford stories, featuring comments from Goforth, Delta County Sheriff Fred McKee, and citizens of Crawford. That's Friday night on KVNF, the Wildcard Hour, at 6 p.m. A major transportation funding bill in the state Senate will not get a final vote for a few more weeks. As Benta Berkland reports, it's on the calendar, but one Senate leader wants to delay it.
The bonding proposal spelled out in Senate Bill 1 would be tied to the state budget and require voter approval. While both sides appear to be close to a compromise, Senate Majority Leader Chris Hulbert says there's too many moving parts for a final vote while the budget's being debated.
This all fits together like a big puzzle, and we need to make sure the pieces will fit.
The governor wants a one-time $500 million infusion from the next budget to get things started, and Democrats want to hold off sending the plan to voters until 2019. They want to see what happens with possible transportation tax questions being backed by the Denver Chamber this fall. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
Requiring people who get coverage from Colorado's Medicaid program to find employment may sound reasonable, But critics say a new bill introduced in the state Senate is misguided. Eric Gladys has this story.
Colorado's Senate, following the lead of the Trump administration, is considering adding work requirements for people with Medicaid coverage. Critics warn the move could end up taking health insurance away from more than 6 million Americans, including hundreds of thousands of Coloradans, if Senate Bill 214 becomes law. Allison Neswood with the Colorado Center on Law and Policy says taking health coverage away from people who are unemployed won't help anyone find or hold on to a job and would increase poverty in the state.
Coloradans that are living in poverty, that are using Medicaid, do work. 75% of Medicaid adults already have a job, and those that don't are facing significant barriers to employment that work requirements are not going to help at all.
According to the Kaiser Family Foundation, more than 7 in 10 Medicaid recipients targeted by work requirements are caregivers or in school. Proponents of the move argue that people are healthier if they're employed or contributing to their communities as volunteers and claim that reliance on government programs such as Medicaid can lead to dependency. SB 214 is scheduled to be heard by the Senate Health and Human Services Committee this Thursday. Neswood says job training, access to affordable child care and education, and jobs that pay a living wage are what's needed to help families become financially self-sufficient, not job requirements. She adds stereotypes about people living in poverty are not only false, they're counterproductive and divisive.
And it causes us to place the blame for poverty on the backs of people who are living in difficult circumstances, who are working very hard to support their families. And so we as a society fail to address the root causes.
Neswood notes adding work requirements would also end up costing Colorado taxpayers. A similar program in Kentucky is expected to cost $187 million just in the first 6 months. And in Ohio, managing additional reporting and red tape could cost local governments $380 million over the next 5 years. This is Eric Gladys reporting for the Colorado News Connection.
And finally today, in a press release from Colorado Parks and Wildlife, it's time for anglers in the Montrose and Delta areas to get fired up for spring fishing. Parks and Wildlife stocked cutthroat trout averaging 17 inches at fishing spots that are easily accessible. At Confluence Park outside of Delta, Parks and Wildlife agents stocked about 350 fish. At Ridgeway State Park, more than 700 of the fish were stocked in the Uncompahgre River tailwater. And in Pericles Pond and Chavano Pond, all in the Paco-Chupic area. Anglers need to get their 2018 Colorado fishing license by April 1st. Licenses can be purchased at local vendors or online at cpw.state.co.us. And that was your KVNF regional newscast for Tuesday. For KVNF News, I'm Eric Gould. Thanks so much for listening.